Nuketown Radioactive number 37 for Tuesday, August 22nd, 2006. Folks, welcome to Radioactive number 37. I'm your host, Ken Newquist, and if you recognize the theme, well, then you know that it's home improvement time again. As I was talking about in one of the earlier podcasts, we're working on remodeling our foyer, living room, and library, and work on that began this weekend as I started spackling the walls and basically scraping and trying to get everything ready to actually put down some coats of paint. And this is, you know, it's not a fun job because you got to get up on the stepladder. And, well, allow me to back up for a second. When you have an older house, like I have an older house, you end up playing kind of Russian roulette with home improvement. What I mean by that is that there are some things you can put off, and there are some things you have to do. And painting is one of those things that we got caught with because the previous owners were able to make do with the paint that was there. It wasn't actually coming off. They could just throw more paint on top of it. With us, well, the paint's starting to come off, so lucky people we are, we actually have to go in, scrape all the paint off, or scrape as much off of it as we can get, and then put down new coats of paint. So, last couple of nights, I've been up on the stepladder, scraper in hand, looking for the places where the paint is bubbling away from the ceiling, and just going to town trying to get as much of the spackle off as as much as the paint off as possible, so that then we can go in and spackle any holes and all that. So, it's not fun, folks, but on the plus side, it is, as always, giving me time to catch up on my podcasts. A present subject of great debate is what to do with the floors downstairs. We have wood floors throughout our first floor, and they look really pretty when they're done, but they really need to be refinished. And Sue and I had been talking about just putting carpet down on top of the room, the floors in the living room and the library. But, you know, I was sitting there, and I was up on the ladder, and I was scraping the ceiling, and I'm looking down at these floors, and they're really nice floors. And I think when we go to sell our house, that's going to be a really, you know, just a major selling point for folks. But, you know, I don't think they're going to be quite as... Well, I mean, obviously, if people can't see them, that's not going to be a selling point, right? And I think telling people that, oh yeah, there's these beautiful wood floors underneath this rug, it's just not the same. So I'm actually inclined, and I'll probably kick myself for this later, to strip the floors and put down some new coats of stain, like I did with Jordan's room a couple of months ago, and get some nice thick layers of polyurethane on it, because, you know, with the nice thick layers of polyurethane, we can probably prevent our number one problem, which is the dog scraping up the floors, because the current finish just isn't thick enough. So I don't know if I'm going to win this debate, but if I do, I think I just created a whole lot more work for me. Now, on the kid front, things are going really well. Jordan is just... She's just amazing. You know, three-year-olds are just... they're fantastic because they're coming into their own. They're starting to come to terms with good and bad and who they are and what rules are and where they fit into that scheme. And Jordan is like any other three-year-old. And, you know, she can be struggling with it. And one of her ways of figuring out where she fits in is to fight with us constantly about just about everything. So, you know, I don't know... I'm sure some people have had the terrible twos, and that's certainly how they earned their name. But for us, two was easy. Two and a half was easy. It's been three that's really been more of the trial, because it's been more of the overt battle of the wills. And she has just enough, you know, three-year-old logic on her side to make things interesting. So when we get tired of battling with Jordan, however, we've got Lucas, and Luke is doing great. He's smiling. He's almost laughing. This morning I was tickling him when I was getting changed, getting ready for work, and I had him laying on the bed in our bedroom, and, you know, I just come over and tickle his tummy and just, you know, touch his nose and stuff, and he was almost laughing. It was it was pretty cool. He also loves to kick. I mean, this kid just, you know, he almost like bucks up in the air when he kicks. He was rocking his pack and play back and forth. So he's doing really well. And I got to say, the second time around, you know, it's harder with two kids, but it's easier in so much as Luke is just a laid-back kid. He gets really upset, you know, as any kid does when they've, you know, got a messy diaper or he wants to eat or whatever. But, you know, you pick him up and he calms right down. It's totally different from Jordy at this age. Jordy was much more of a trial and much more of an effort to calm her down. I mean, I walked many, many miles downstairs getting Jordy to go to sleep. And with Luke, it's just a heck of a lot simpler. So that's the kid situation. Over on Nuketown, I'm getting a steady flow of comments coming in. Well, I shouldn't say steady flow. You know, a couple here, a couple there. But, you know, I appreciate all the feedback, folks. So, you know, feel free to stop by the site, weigh in. I'm looking at upgrading the site a bit and adding some more modules into Drupal that will... Well, one of the big ones is to notify you when somebody has posted a response to your post, and basically to allow you to subscribe to a thread on the site. I'm also looking at bringing the forums back. I'm not sure if I want to do that or not. I know there's been a couple of people I've talked to who like the forums because it's kind of open-ended. They can post subjects, whereas, you know, with... you know, when you're posting comments, it's more oriented towards whatever I'm talking about or whatever the subject of a given podcast or post was about. So we'll see. If you're interested in the forums, if you have an opinion one way or the other, let me know by emailing me at nuketown@gmail.com.
In August 2006, a number of gaming podcasters went to Gen Con Indy. Through that weekend, their coverage was found. Gen Con, almost live. Discussion and news from your favorite gaming podcaster about North America's largest gaming convention. Go to genconlive.dragonslanding.com for RSS feeds and more information. Gen Con Almost Live is not affiliated with Gen Con LLC.
So Gen Con has come and gone, and I unfortunately did not go to Gen Con. But I've been able to relive the experience through the various podcasts that I've been listening to while doing the aforementioned home improvement. So far, I have listened to Pulp Gamer, All Games Considered, and Have Games Will Travel, all of which kind of did roundups of the games that they played at Gen Con, just experiences they had at Gen Con, which was pretty cool. And almost all of those will be contributing to a project called Gen Con Almost Live, which features podcasters posting interviews, segments, entire shows, reviews, just everything. It's just a huge deluge of content from Gen Con to this site. You can check it out at genconlive.dragonslanding.com, and of course the Dragon's Landing guys will be posting their stuff as well. I mean, I don't even want to name all the podcasts that are participating in this because there are just so many. I mean, we've got Geekcore Radio, you've got Fistful of Comics, Does My Geek. I mean, it's just lots and lots of shows. So at first, you know, I was kind of hoping they would post while they were at Gen Con, but for the most part, that didn't happen. Now, after the show, though, you're seeing a lot of stuff showing up as, you know, people edit their content, get it ready for prime time, post it to the site. So it was a cool project, very cool idea. I really hope that they do this again next year, and actually, I hope I can participate next year, because that's right, folks, I'm going to Gen Con 2007, so start planning now. I have negotiated everything with Sue. I think I mentioned this before in an earlier podcast. My guys in my gaming group are going to be going too, so we're all starting to try and figure out how we're going to do the logistics of this, but I'm excited, because I got to tell you, folks, Gen Con is, as far as a gamer goes, the greatest show on earth. It is fantastic. And from what I hear from the various podcasters who've gone there, I think it's only gotten better. I mean, there have been inevitably been, you know, just kind of the screw-ups and stuff that go on with having a show this big. But, you know, it was just fantastic the 3 years that I went. I went 99, 2000, and 2001. And I really missed not going there. And I had forgotten, you know, listening to these podcasts, just how much you get to see at Gen Con. It's all the games you get to play, all the stuff you get to demo. I mean, I was writing about stuff I saw at Gen Con for months after getting back from the show. So I am just overjoyed to be going to Gen Con next year. And I'm hoping that this may be the beginning of another run of going to Gen Con, because I think I mentioned earlier, Sue has family out that way, so we can kind of fit this into a trip out to Indianapolis. Sue goes and sees the relatives, I hang out with them for a little while, then I go to Gen Con. So hopefully, as long as Gen Con's in Indy, I'll be able to go. So that would be, that'd just be fantastic, because it's a wonderful show, and if you can, you really need to go. Another podcast I just started listening to is Geek Acres, in which a 30-something geek dad and husband talks about tech, pop culture, and, well, all things geeky. His name's Doug Rapsom, and I apologize in advance if I got the name wrong. I unfortunately couldn't find it on the actual show page, but so far it sounded pretty good. Doug spent a good chunk of his latest show talking about snakes on a plane and Linux, you know, so two subjects that are dear to the hearts of many geeks. He also talked about thumb drives. And just, you know, I think it was a good podcast just because it was kind of hitting on general geekery rather than just, you know, gaming and such, which is what probably about 80 to 90% of the podcasts I listen to revolve around games in one form or another. So it's cool to kind of get this perspective on, well, just, like I say, general geekery. So I look forward to working my way back through his catalog, seeing what he has to say about parenting, you know, relationships, that kind of thing. Because you know, it seems like a good podcast to listen to. And you know, as I gear up for the fall 2006 construction season, I'm going to need all the podcasts I can get, and this one will be on my list. So you can check it out at geekacres.libsyn.com. You can also find the link to that in the show notes, and of course the link to Gen Con Almost Live will also be in the show notes.
You must be listening to the Goblin Broadcast Network at gbn.com. Amazing.
So it seems that ever since the Lite version came out, lots and lots of my friends are buying Nintendo DSs. And I can't blame them, because the Lite is a beautiful little machine. It's small enough to fit into a pocket, a coat jacket pocket, you know, a purse. It's a little easier to hold. It's got a nice form factor. It's got a bigger stylus. The screen is beautiful. And it really just seems to have clicked with people in a way that the original DS didn't. Now, I shouldn't exactly say that, because the original DS has sold lots and lots of machines. Probably a lot more than people were thinking it would sell when it first came out and was going up against the PlayStation Portable. In fact, let me say this. I know probably about 5-6 people who have Nintendo DSs. I don't know anybody who has a PlayStation Portable. And I think, you know, that could partly be because it's targeting two of the audiences that I'm familiar with. Targeting kids. It's also targeting adults who are looking for different kinds of games or a different gaming experience, or even adults who maybe didn't know they were gamers until the DS came along and showed them that, hey, there are different ways to play games and not everything has to be a platformer or blow something up. That's why I got the DS, and over the last year or so as I've had it, I found some games that really take advantage of the DS and do things that you can't easily do on other gaming systems, which is really the whole reason why I wanted it. So the first game that really said, wow, this is really cool, was Metroid Pinball, which is just the best computer pinball game I've ever played. It's got realistic physics, it's got great graphics, even on a little machine like the DS, and it's loyal to the classic pinball games of old. You know, stuff like Addams Family, Star Trek, Indiana Jones. I mean, it's not as complex as those games, but it's got all the mini games, it's got multiple multi-ball modes, and it takes full advantage of the DS because it uses the dual screens for both the top and the bottom of the pinball machine. So you're using everything you've got, and it's just really fun. The only drawback to it, really, is that it doesn't have enough boards, especially at the basic level. But, you know, it's fun to play, and I'm really hoping that we'll see more pinball games for the DS. So if you're into pinball like I am, and you really wish you had one in your basement, but you really can't afford to buy one, I would definitely pick up Metroid Pinball. And you don't need to know anything about Metroid to play it, because I certainly don't, because I never played Metroid on Nintendo. I think it probably helps, and it has a little bit more meaning, and it might be a little bit easier to figure out. I think there's more nostalgia there, but, you know, it's certainly not necessary to play the game. Another great game is Meteos, which is a block-based game that's reminiscent of Tetris, if Tetris had blocks that ignited and shot off into space when you formed lines. Really fun game. I think I like puzzlers like this. I haven't really found a great puzzler since Tetris. And although this game is not Tetris, it kind of evokes that feeling. And, you know, the first time you get the game, you'll spend like 2 weeks solid just playing it because it's that much fun. It's kind of fallen off my top 10 list, or my top 5 list, because I don't really have that many DS games. But it's still that kind of game that I like to pull out, play every once in a while, because it's fun, it's challenging, and the games don't take that long. Now, another game that I thought was pretty cool was Animal Crossing for DS, which, yes, this is a game that was originally on the GameCube, but it's ported well to the DS, and I think it may even be better for the DS than it was for the GameCube, although I didn't play the GameCube version, and this is why, is because it's really a nice portable game. It's the kind of thing that you can pick up, play for 15 minutes on a lunch break, or, you know, in the morning when you're having your yogurt or whatever, and, you know, it fits the portable device kind of thing. I will admit that it's a very open-ended exploration type game. Kind of like, say, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto, but without all the hijacking, murder, and chaos and stuff. It's that same open-ended, you can do whatever you want kind of feel in the game. And I gotta say that when I first got the game, it was so open-ended that I didn't have a clue what to do, and I was a little frustrated because I didn't get what the appeal of this game was. But then I read some online facts and talked to some people and started to realize that, hey, you can, you know, there is a lot of stuff. There's these different odd jobs you can do. You can dig up fossils. You can decorate your house. You can draw constellations. You can hunt bugs. And if all of this sounds just a little too passive, a little too you really got to try the game because it's a lot more appealing than what I just described. The other cool thing about it is that you can share with DS's, and I think this is where it really comes into its own on the DS, because here's what happens. I have my town in Animal Crossing. I have my main character. I have all my little animals that live in the town. Now, when I hook it up with my friend Courtney, my animals, I can now go visit her town, or she can come visit my town. If I go to her town, some of her animals will move from her town to my town, and I'll be able to get fruit from her town and plant it in my town and then sell it for major, major money in my town. Then hook it up with a third person, our friend Pat, and now his people are showing up in both of our towns. And then I hook it up with my mom's DS, yes, my mom has a DS, and now people from her town are showing up. So there's this great cross-pollination going on where things move from one game to the next. And I can't wait to see what it will be like when this game comes out for the Nintendo Wii, because I think it'll be just as cool with this whole interconnectedness. I mean, it's just another one of those things that it turns out to be really, really cool once you sit down in front of it and you have a chance to play. So definitely try out Animal Crossing. One other game that I think is worth mentioning because it's been so incredibly popular is Nintendogs. I don't really like it that much. Basically, in this game, you're in charge of a fake dog, a pretend dog, an animal dog. And I have enough, you know, trouble taking care of my own dogs. But the cool thing about this is that my daughter loves it. I got the Labrador version, and I got it again because my mom got it for the DS. And it's really cool. She can do amazing amount of stuff with the DS. She can take the dog for a walk. She can run it through agility. She can give it a bath. She can play with its toys. She can feed it. All the things that she can't necessarily do with our dogs because they're old. You know, my lab's 9 years old, and Madison has absolutely no reason to listen to Jordan. But the DS version, that puppy's all over Jordy. So, and it's amazing to see what a three-year-old can do with this game. So it's pretty cool. That's the other, that's the appeal of Animal Crossing as well. Jordan loves this game. Obviously, she can't read yet, so she has a little bit of problem with the dialogue boxes, but she likes exploring. She likes picking up shells. She likes picking fruit and selling it. You know, she doesn't necessarily get everything that's going on in the game yet, but it's amazing that she can spend 20 minutes and actually do stuff in the game and actually interact with it in a way that she really enjoys. And, you know, it's just a really cool little game system for a variety of different reasons. So, anyway, the last game I want to mention is WarioWare Touched, which is fun but a little overly redundant, like any of the other WarioWare titles if you've played them for the original Game Boy or Game Boy Advance. There's all these little mini-games that you need to complete. every single game for WarioWare Touched involves a stylus in some way, touching. There's also a little microphone on the DS, so you can blow into it, and some of the games involve like blowing pinwheels and stuff. But unfortunately, there's only so much popping, dragging, pushing, scrubbing, scratching that you can do when you've got like hundreds of games. You know, eventually it starts to get kind of boring. But, you know, for that initial, you know, if you're looking for something where you can play a bunch of quick little games, I would definitely try WarioWare Touched, especially now that you can probably pick it up for cheap. So, overall, I think, well, the DS just rocks. I think that it is an amazing game system, and it's probably been one of my most enjoyable ones that I've ever owned. And I think, you know, it's, you can't underrate the ability to be able to play with other people, the ability to download games, you know, a lot of games, like, for example, Meteos, or another game that I want, Mario Kart, allow you to only have one cartridge, and then you can download the game to other people, which is just, it's just a great ability to have, that not everybody has to have the same stupid game cartridge in order to play. Now, you can do more stuff if everybody has the game cartridges, but it's not necessary. And to be honest, it's a great marketing technique, because that's what got me hooked on Meteos to begin with. So looking forward, there's a couple of more games that I want to get. The aforementioned Mario Kart, which is a port of the Nintendo 64 version of Mario Kart. But again, it's on the DS, so you can all compete against one another wirelessly, which is just cool, and you can do it over the internet, which is even cooler. And the other game is Brain Age, which is just a whole bunch of logic puzzles, which are based on the DS, and which has been getting a huge amount of buzz over the last couple of months. So that is a list of the games that are in my DS library. They're the ones that have made the cut, the ones that I'm really enjoying. And I encourage everybody to check them out. If you've got a DS game that you like, hey, let me know about it. Email me at nuketown@gmail.com or post a comment to the show notes. That'll do it for this edition of Nuketown Radioactive. I know I promised you a review of George R.R. Martin's A Feast for Crows, but alas, I did not have the notes with me when I recorded this, so you couldn't do it. Gonna have to save it for next podcast. But it will be the next podcast. You can look for it on Radioactive number 38.